أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين وصل اللهم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ربي أنتقنا بالهدى وألهمنا بالتقوى قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الحكيم وهو أصدق القائلين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأطيعوا الله ورسوله ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم واصبروا إن الله مع الصابرين آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. My respected scholars, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no doubt that it's due to His kindness and generosity that opportunities such as these are presented for us, where we gather together in remembrance of Him tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is an honor for me to stand in front of you today to discuss the works of Shaheed Mutahhari. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his status. It is always difficult to go up first, to be quite honest. Yeah, there's advantages and disadvantages to going up first. The advantages is that once I'm done, there's no more pressure and no more stress on me at all. The disadvantage is that by the time the program ends, you won't remember anything that I've said. But inshallah, I pray that some of that which is spoken and is shared today reaches the heart, inshallah, because it is from the heart that it is originating, inshallah. There's no doubt that we can all attest to the fact that the works of Shaheed have had a huge impact in all of our lives. If you look at the fact that the number of people that have come today on a Saturday evening to gather here for this presentation shows the impact that Shaheed has had on each and every one of our lives. And I think for me in particular, and I'm sure many of you will also agree with this, is that what makes Shaheed remarkable is the fact that though he was assassinated over 35 years ago, the relevance of his work is still present till today. He was a man who wrote for the future, it feels like. And whenever the difficulties and the challenges that we see in our lives today, when we go back to the works of Shaheed, we find that he had in some way spoken about this to give us that inspiration and that guidance on how to deal with these issues. Coming to the topic of today's gathering, it is entitled Living Islam in the Modern World, through the intellectual works of Shaheed Murtada Mutahhari. One of the good things about this presentation, or this gathering, at least for my end, was concerned that I was not given any guidelines of what to talk about or what not to talk about, which gave me a little bit of flexibility to discuss that which I consider to be very important, especially for those who know me and who have come to or attend Masumin, even in an irregular basis. This is a subject that I will address today, which I have addressed numerous times in my lectures and numerous times in the khutbas today. And we will discuss it today again, but what's beautiful is that today it won't be Jafar who is talking about this, it will be Shaheed Mutahhari who is talking about this. And whenever you can connect it back to scholarship such as Shaheed, it adds more value to that which the ideas that we have. When I looked at this title, I rephrased it in my mind, and how I rephrased it is that what can we learn from the intellectual works of Shaheed Mutahhari, which will make our lives as Muslims in this part of the world easier? Yeah? How can we become better Muslims through the teachings and through the guidance of Shaheed Mutahhari? I have grown up in the West nearly my entire life. I moved from East Africa when I was 10, moved to California, lived there for about 19, 20 years before I went to study and then came here. Therefore, my youth and the most important and vulnerable time of my life was spent in the West. And therefore, I have a good grasp, in my estimation, about that those challenges that we face as a community today, and how we can hopefully get over this hurdle or these challenges to become good, pious Muslims. There's no doubt that the challenges and obstacles that we face are many. I'm sure we could sit there and list thousands of different challenges that we face, some including, for example, materialism, how the West, and it's not just the West anymore, this concept or this idea of materialism and this hubbu dunya is spread throughout the world, where this attraction to that which is immediate has made us forget about that which is imminent and that which is coming. We only see or seek immediate gratification, and in the process of doing that, we have lost connection with that which is the real, or that which is the ultimate target and goal. And the list of things that we can talk about today are never ending, to be quite honest, but I'm going to talk about one in particular. And this, I believe, in my estimation, is one of the greatest obstacles that we face as Muslims, both as an ummah, as an entire nation, and as a madhab, those who are the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And this is a lack of unity in the Muslim world. Again, for those of you who have attended my lectures, I have talked about this at length, and I feel it apt that we can find resources from Shaheed, who has talked about the importance of unity in the Muslim world long before the problems that we are facing today are existing. I believe in my heart, and there are scholars here, and that one of the reasons, I don't want to say one of the main reasons, but in my estimation, it is one of the main reasons that we find that our Imam of our time, Imam al-Hujja, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I think we can do a better salawat than that. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. For those of you who know me, I do that a lot as well. Yeah. One of the reasons why our Imam is still in Ghaiba is because we are not united. Yeah. Why would he come for a group of people who are so busy bickering and fighting with one another over the smallest issues, when they share together the flag of wilaya, they share together the flag and the banner of Aliyun Waliullah, yet they are so distracted amongst themselves. They fight amongst themselves over the pettiest issues, that why would he even be motivated to come to us? Yeah? Again, I think this is one of the main reasons that we find that our Imam alayhi salam is still in ghaiba. It's not because there needs to be more oppression. No, there's enough oppression. There is enough injustice that we see in this world today. Rather, the onus has fallen on us. He is waiting for us to become better human beings so that he finds us worthy enough to come and guide us and lead us. Since I was a child, yeah, I have noticed, and it's more obviously when I've gotten older, but I've noticed how disunited we are. Yeah? If you look at, for example, the Muslim Ummah as a whole, I said disunited as an entire Ummah. We are 1.6 billion strong, yeah, and that's a low estimation. That's nearly 23% of the world's population is Muslim. That means one in every four people that you meet is likely going to be a Muslim. Now obviously that may not apply here to the West, unless you're at square one in Mississauga where every other person is a Muslim. But every fourth person we can say in the world is a Muslim, yet globally we are not taken seriously. Yeah, our rights are being trampled upon. People view us as barbaric. People view us as unorganized. When if you think about it, that which is morally consistent between all of our Muslims, if we united over these issues, we can get what we want in this world. And why would that be surprising if we couldn't? If we could, right? But the fact that you find the Muslims of the world are so busy concentrating on that which is for themselves. Again, we go back to this materialism that we talked about, is that I look to see what's instantly gratifying for me and not as an entire ummah. We don't have a singular united voice. This is sad, right? That we can't unite on issues such as, even for example, the murders that are taking place in Iraq, for example, or the violence that is taking place in Palestine, for example, or in Afghanistan or Pakistan. All of these places you find that Muslims are suffering, yet we don't have one collective voice condemning these actions. right? And this is saddening for me. This is something which, to be quite honest, affects me, affects my spirituality as a human being, to say that why can't we unite? More than that, you know, as a madhab, this is even more upsetting for me, that how come we who share this understanding of wilaya, who understand the love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam, can't unite? Yeah? What prevents us from uniting? You know, if you see the problems that we face, it's upsetting. I'm speaking to you from my heart today. Yeah, that it's saddening that we see the state that we are in. You know, we discriminate with each other based on who our marja is, for example. Right? This we say that this persons are, for example, Sistani. No, we can't associate with Sistani. No, no. These people are Shirazi. No, we can't associate with Shirazi. No, these people are Khamenei. We can't associate. Why? Yeah? Why? Why is that so important that we can't unite with one another when we share more commonalities than we do differences? More than that, you know, we find that based on these differences of marja'iyat, based on politics within a mosque, what we do is we open our own mosque then. Yeah? If this is a problem here, no, we'll open our own mosque. You find, for example, those who are muqallideen of Sayyid Sistani, they say, no, these are conservatives of Sayyid Sistani. We are the liberals of Sayyid Sistani. Yeah? So they open up their own mosque, right? You find, for example, followers of Sayyid Khamenei say, no, these people are not wilayati enough for us. We will open our own stronger wilayati branch of the mosque, right? I come from LA, my brothers and sisters. In LA, there was one Urdu-speaking center, one Khoja center, one Iraqi center. In 15 years, there were 7 mosques that split from these centers. Why? Because these people were not wilayati enough for us. Yeah? These people were too conservative for us. Same thing has happened here in Toronto, hasn't it? Yeah? Right in our backyards in Mississauga. And this is not just a problem that we are facing here. It's everywhere. There's a problem, we go and we open up our own center. We want our own flock to be the shepherds of, rather than coming and seeing the problems within a community and helping fix those problems within that community. And it is one of the main reasons, yeah, main reasons why I went and studied. Yeah? Because I felt that what's happening within our communities is something that is unbearable for me, to be quite honest. I had no intention of going to study and coming back and starting my own center to guide this flock. I wanted to come into an existing center where there were existing people who had difficulties and how we can guide them together to get towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these are some of the problems that I see that we are facing. And you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the verse that I recited from surah number 8, verse number 46, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْحَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاسْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Now beautifully God has said it. He says, obey Allah and His Apostle and do not dispute. Yeah? لَا تَنَازَعُوا. Do not dispute with one another. If you go back to that which you must obey, and that is the God, that is God and His Prophet, you have no reasons to dispute anymore. You are united already. Yeah? Do not dispute. And what happens if you dispute? You will lose your heart and your power will be gone. Yeah? My brothers and sisters, yeah, we as a Muslim ummah today, 1.6 billion or 300 million Shias, do we have any power? Yeah? We don't have any power. We don't even have a power to come out with one joint statement to condemn a particular action. Right? Why? Because we are busy disputing with one another. We are busy fighting with one another. And this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you dispute with one another, your heart will be gone. Yani what? You will not be taken seriously by anybody. And once that happens, it is like your breath is gone. Yeah? It is like your power has been taken away from you. Be patient, God says. Yeah? Yani when you come across somebody who you don't agree with, the answer is not to come and start your own center. Yeah? The answer is not to then label people as not these enough or not that enough. No, the answer God is saying is be patient. Obey God and obey the Prophet and be patient. Indeed, God is with those who are patient. So as today, if this is what I see as the biggest obstacle for us as a Muslim ummah, What I thought is I would look for material written by Shaheed who discusses this subject. Because again, that which I have just said can be taken lightly and thrown away saying, what does Jafar know? Yeah, he's never been in that situation, whatever it is, right? But when we find scholars who talk about this, when we find, for example, the Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam who have talked about this, more than that, if we find God has talked about this, this should be enough for us to awaken, yeah, and to take this seriously. When it came to unity, there are many things that Shaheed Mutahhari rahimahullah has talked about. But one that I found very interesting was his write-up on Al-Ghadir and its relevance to Islamic unity. Al-Ghadir is here, he's talking about not necessarily the event of Ghadir, but the book Al-Ghadir by Allama Amini. What happened was when this book was published, and then many years later during the time of Shaheed, there were people who were saying that we need to unite as a Muslim Ummah, and that this book Ghadir disunites us. Yeah, because Ghadir is talking about a specific issue which is a disuniting factor between Shias and Sunnis. Therefore we should not, we should put aside this book. So Shaheed wrote this article, and in this article he proves that this book Ghadir is actually something which can unite the Muslim Ummah rather than disunite the Muslim Ummah, and he goes into a whole explanation. However, before he goes into that explanation, what Shaheed does is he talks about Islamic unity and what is meant by Islamic unity. And this is where I think we will take our lessons from the remaining time that I have. That when I talk about Islamic unity, what do I mean by that? When Shaheed talks about Islamic unity, what does he mean by that? And we will see, inshallah, as we go with this progress or we go with this presentation, that if we unite the way Shaheed tells us to unite, we will see a different power that comes to us, a different assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will come and assist us in our times of difficulty. Shaheed here is specifically talking about the unity of the Muslim Ummah, right? So he doesn't go into the disunity that exists between our or within our madhab. But if you just replace the words in the speech of Shaheed about Ummah to Madhab, for example, it presents the same exact message that will cover both of these fields that I mentioned earlier about unity that is needed in the Ummah and unity that is needed in our Madhab. Shaheed says, what is meant by Islamic unity? Does it mean that one Islamic school of thought should be unanimously followed and others set aside? He says, is this what is meant by Islamic unity? Yeah. Yani, in other words, does it mean that one Shia marja should be followed and every other marja should be put aside? Yeah. This is what he is asking, right? Or he says, does it mean that the commonalities of all Islamic schools of thought should be taken up and their differences be put away to make up a new denomination which is not completely the same as the previous ones? So you take the commonalities that exist between all of the different schools and you forget about the differences and you stick to the commonalities, right? This is an exactly religious pluralistic argument, right? When you study what religious pluralism is in its definition, for example, the definition that John Hick gives about pluralism, he says you take that which you have in common with one another and you disregard that which is a difference between you. So for example, if the crucifixion of Christ in Christianity is causing a difference between the different religions, you put that aside. And that crucifixion is not important. Yeah? If the concept of imamat is causing differences between Muslims, put the concept of imamat aside and unite. He says, is this what we mean? Yeah? Or does it mean that Islamic unity is in no way related to the unity of the different schools of fiqh, but signifies the unity of the Muslims and the unity of the followers of different schools of fiqh with their different religious ideas and views? Yeah, this is a different understanding of unity altogether, isn't it? Yeah, again, it's important. You guys are with me, inshallah. Yeah? He says, or does it mean that Islamic unity is in no way related to the unity of the different schools of fiqh? But what it means is that it signifies the unity of the Muslims and the unity of the followers of different schools of fiqh with their different religious ideas and views. Yani even if there has, even if we are not agreeing on a common marja, it doesn't matter. Yeah, we have more that is in common than we have which is differences. In fact, the fact that we have different maraja is in fact showing the power of our religion, which allows this concept or allows this individual ijtihad to flourish within our religion. Yeah, he says without doubt. So he poses two questions about what unity means. He says without doubt by the term Islamic unity, the intellectual Islamic ulama, yani the scholars, do not mean that all denominations should give in to one denomination. He says, look, the ulama, when they talk about Islamic unity, they are not saying that now we need to put everything aside and that we come together even though we have left aside that which is the most important. Rather, he says, they do not mean that all denominations should give in to one denomination or that the commonality should be given up and the different views and ideas be set aside, as these are neither rational or and logical nor favorable and practical. By the Islamic unity, these scholars mean that all Muslims should unite in one line against their common enemies. Yeah? That means we have differences in aqidah. Yeah? That doesn't matter, we can still unite. Yeah? We have differences in maraja. That doesn't matter, we can still unite. Why are we harping on these small differences within our own madhab or even within a larger ummah? If we believe in imamat and they don't believe in imamat, do we not believe in the same Quran? Do we not pray towards the same Kaaba? Do we not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So what he is saying here is that it doesn't matter that we have differences amongst us. Yeah? The scholars of Islam say that this does not matter that we have differences. The fact that matters is that we can still unite for a common cause against our common enemies. He says, and he continues, these scholars, yani these ulama, they state that Muslims have many things in common which can serve as the foundations of a firm unity. All Muslims worship the One Almighty and believe in the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The Quran is the book of all Muslims and Kaaba is their Qibla. They go to Hajj with each other and perform the Hajj rites and rituals like one another. They say their daily prayers and fast like each other. They establish families and engage in transactions like one another. They have similar views of bringing up their children and burying their dead. Apart from the minor affairs, they share similarities in all the aforementioned cases. Muslims also share one kind of worldview, one common culture, and one grand, glorious, and long-standing civilization. He says, look at how much we have in common with one another. Yeah? Look at how much we agree with one another. And more than that, you know, that which he doesn't add here because he is targeting a specific audience, within our own madhab, we share something which is even more beautiful than that, isn't it? Yeah? We share the love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Yeah? We share that, no matter who our marja is. Yeah? No matter who we follow, the fact is that we still gather for Muharram to weep for Aba Abdullah alayhi salam. Yeah? We still gather for Ghadir and praise that which the Prophet did for Imam Ali alayhi salam and for the entire world. We share all of these. Yeah? So why should we disunite is what we are saying. He continues, the group of ulama are of the view that there is no need for the Muslims to make any compromise on their primary or secondary principles of their religion for the sake of Islamic unity. There is no need to sacrifice that which you believe and hold dear for the sake of Islamic unity. That means for the sake of Islamic unity, I don't put aside the concept of imamat. Yeah? For the sake of Islamic unity doesn't mean that I fold my hands and pray Salah because I want to be unified with our Muslim brothers. No, that's silly, isn't it? But we hold on to our values. We hold on to that which is dear to us. And on top of that, we can still find ways to unite with one another. You know, it is happening. I know I'm sounding like it's not happening. It is happening, but it's not happening fast enough. We are in this time, my brothers and sisters, where we need to unite faster for the coming of our Imam. But these, we find, for example, here in Toronto, yeah, we're finding that, for example, there's a Canadian Council of Imams. This Canadian Council of Imams includes both Shia scholars and Sunni scholars. We get together once a month for meetings, for example. We come together for commonalities that exist between us, for example, condemning the ISIS, the terrorist attacks, for example. We find all of these which are already taking place. We are coming together, for those who know, to create one common halal food standard, right? Because we begin with food, yeah? If we begin with food and we're successful, we can be successful in Aqidah, inshallah. But inshallah, we are coming together and we are putting these together, but it's not happening fast enough. What's upsetting me more is the disunity that exists within our own madhab. Yeah? I find that to be very sad, my brothers and sisters, that we grieve the same way, we weep the same way, yet we are willing to label people in certain ways which are derogatory, for example. I'll end with a series of quotes from Shaheed. He says, "There is no reason for us to consider the principles as an interrelated set. Yani our principles that we hold are most important." He says, "There is no need for us to hold our principles as an interrelated set and follow the principle of all or none." Yeah? And it's either my way or the highway. You find, unfortunately, this is the Yazidi way, isn't it? Yeah? When Yazid, la'natullahi alayh, sent word for the bay'ah, what would he say? It's either my way. Yeah? You either give me bay'ah or I take his life. Yeah? If we come into organizations, if we come into our centers with this idea, it's my way or no way. Yeah? My brothers and sisters, this is following the footpath of Yazid. Yeah? This is following George Bush, isn't it? Yeah, you're either with us or against us. And Shaheed, 35 years ago or even longer, has said, look, this is not what it means by Islamic unity. He says, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, chose a very logical and reasonable approach. He left no stone unturned to retrieve his right. He used everything within his power to restore the principles of Imama, but he never adhered to the motto of all or none. Yeah? He never adhered to the motto of all or none. Ali alayhi salam did not rise up for his right, and that was not compulsory. Yeah? This is beautiful from Shaheed. You see, if I had said that, it would have held no weight whatsoever. Yeah? But the fact that Shaheed says, look at Imam Ali alayhi salam, yeah? That when his rights were taken away from him, yeah, he could have picked up the sword and fought, but it was not compulsory to do that. It's not compulsory to enforce your views on somebody else. We can put that aside and still get together for the common causes and the common good that exists between us for the eventual common good. He says, on the contrary, it was calculated and chosen approach. He did not fear death. Why didn't he rise up? There could have been nothing above martyrdom. Being killed for the case of the Almighty was his ultimate desire. He was more intimate with martyrdom than a child with his mother's bosom. But in his sound calculations, Imam Ali alayhi salam had reached the conclusion that under the existing conditions, it was to the interest of Islam to foster collaboration and cooperation amongst the Muslims. Subhanallah. It was for the interest of Islam that he saw that it was necessary for there to foster collaboration and cooperation amongst the Muslims and give up revolt. He repeatedly stressed this point. We're coming to the end of his speech. Yeah? In the six-man council, after appointment of Uthman by Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Ali alayhi salam set forth his objection as well as his readiness for collaboration. Subhanallah. Yeah? Look at that. Yeah? Look at Imam Ali alayhi salam. Yeah? He said, what is happening is I don't agree with. But he was ready to collaborate with them for the sake of the Islamic Ummah, for the sake of the greater cause. He says to them, you well know that I am more deserving than any others for caliphate. But now by Allah, so long as the affairs of the Muslims are in order and my rivals suffice with setting me aside, and only I am alone subjected to oppression, I will not oppose the move and will give in to it. Subhanallah. This is Imam Ali, yeah? When Uthman was made Khalifa. Yeah? If Imam Ali alayhi salam can do that for the sake of the Muslim Ummah, surely we can unite. Surely we can put aside our differences and come together to create this strong body, to create this strong movement, which can then prepare for the coming of the Imam. Now I end with these words of Shaheed. Like, I think this was better than how I could have said it. Yeah? And I'm glad that Shaheed, who the man we are gathered here today to remember, has talked about the importance of unity in Islam. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives me the strength to follow through, and He gives all of us inshallah the power and the ability to unite with one another to come together for this common cause. Wa akhiru da'wan anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallillahumma ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi at-tahireen.